Morning Meeting, brought to you by Verizon. Come home to a better network.
Well, guys, 5 weeks, we had a chance to watch some football on TV, and I got to tell you, there were some good games, exciting, but as far as the level of competition, I don't see any big threats out there to the Patriots.
Yeah, you know, there's nothing like a bye week to make you feel even better about your team. I mean, I thought 3-0, 119 points scored. I didn't really think there was much way we could feel better about the Patriots' chances, but you're right, Fred. There was a lot of bad football. Now the kicking game has completely gone to mush because they moved the extra point back, and now no one can make a kick anywhere. It's a disgrace.
I mean, I was listening to the Colts game on radio, and besides the fact that their announcers make Scott Zolak look like the most objective person in the world.
We love Zo.
I mean, there were missed kicks left and right in that game. They had three chances to win the game, did Jacksonville, and they couldn't hit a field goal.
Between injuries and ineptitude, the Patriots look better. You know, they won the weekend. They didn't play, and they're now 4-0 because they won the weekend.
Yeah, and Andy touches on another important element, too, and you just hope it's not one of those years in the NFL where it just happens to everybody, but just the key players that are going down throughout the league. The Patriots are going to play Dallas pretty soon, and they're going to be without, what, three or four of their best players on offense. I mean, this is just becoming an epidemic around the league, and it is making the Patriots' position all that much stronger.
Well, the Patriots' best players this weekend, we saw on social media, Tom Brady had his feet up with his Uggs on watching football.
He didn't get hurt.
And Gronk told us he was just going to chill and watch movies, so.
He didn't get hurt either.
Right. Well, I want to make sure we see him.
But, look at some of this competition. We knew that Peyton Manning's having trouble, and it continues. I mean, they eked out the win. They're still undefeated, but you no longer have to go and beat Peyton Manning. You have to go and beat that defense.
Right.
Which I will say is pretty good.
But the way I look at it, these teams that are winning games, the Jets, you're 3-1. You know, whatever you think long-term of these teams, the Broncos, you know, Peyton Manning's not what he was offensively, blah, 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 the Panthers, you know, starting undefeated. I just fall back on what Bill always says. You're giving yourself a chance. Some teams are pulling the plug on their season by not winning these games that you either should or could early in the year. These teams are laying a foundation with how bad this league is. If you win 4 or 5 games, you're well on your way to a postseason berth and giving yourself a chance.
Yeah, and I don't have the exact numbers, but I think there are still 6 undefeated teams. I think that's right, because one of them, Arizona, lost. But I think there's only a couple of 3-1 teams.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So to Andy's point, everybody's 2-2 or worse.
Yeah.
So he's absolutely right. If you've gotten out of the gate strong in September, at least you have a chance. But there are so many teams, look at the flip side of that, that already don't have a chance.
Some of these horses, Bill always compares it to that quarter pole of the horse race. Some of the horses have been shot
already.
They're at the glue factory.
Remember, for the season, people were debating which team would give the Patriots the most, opposition in the AFC East, and Miami was on the top of a lot of people.
A lot of people thought that.
Look at them now.
You can blame Stephen Ross for that, as I said in last week. You know, it's ridiculous. You have a $100 million player who hates his coach, hates his defensive coach, won't play, wearing sneakers to full contact practices to show up the coordinator. It's a debacle everywhere else.
Yeah, and you just cannot figure out, particularly the AFC, you don't know who the good teams are. The Ravens are having trouble. Pittsburgh, without Big Ben's not the same. You know, Cincinnati, they're undefeated right now, but we've seen that before. San Diego, you don't know how good they are. The AFC West is all topsy-turvy. So it makes it really interesting, but as you said many times before, Andy, you're not sure that the quality of play is that good.
And I was dubious to start the year. Everybody made fun of me, even in the spring when Darrell Revis left, and I said I was disappointed because I wanted to cover a Super Bowl in San Francisco. I'm back on the bandwagon. Party's at Alcatraz. I'll be out there for the week. I'm very happy about it. Very happy.
Let's just fast forward, and you just talked about all the different teams, Fred. It's you know what it is? It's Brady and Manning again. It's going to come down to Brady and Manning again, and I'm sorry, advantage Brady. He still can throw the ball, and Peyton can't do it consistently.
Yeah, I'm thinking that maybe this is the year Andy Dalton and the Bengals. Listen,
you just blew them off.
I know, but eventually they have to do it. He's looking pretty good.
They've been impressive.
Eventually you'll learn that what they do in September is irrelevant.
No, I think he's the kind of quarterback who
stinks,
needed to learn,
who can't win.
And he's starting to get that experience underneath him. I think this might be their year.
It's like the year 7 jump, year 6 jump. Very impressive. Marvin Lewis.
They could be the biggest challenge.
Why are you letting him be disrespectful to you?
I'm not disrespecting him. I'm disrespecting his view of the Bengals, because the Bengals are the Bungles, and they always will.
This could be the year for them. Not to overtake the Patriots, but to get to the AFC.
To actually make a win a playoff game.
Listen, I'm telling you right now,
Patriots, Bengals,
AFC Championship, book it.
The Patriots were busy during the bye week. Coach Belichick bringing in some bulk for that defensive line, and with good reason. The Dallas Cowboys, obviously one of the best, if not the best, offensive lines in football. We know they want to run the ball, and especially without Tony Romo, they plan to do so on Sunday. So Belichick brings in Akeem Hicks from New Orleans in a trade for the Who Man. Really good move here. Also activated Kyrie Thornton from the practice squad. Two big bodies. You wonder if maybe the Patriots want to use some more 3-4 fronts and go after that Cowboys running game with that. But Hicks is a guy, former third-round pick in New Orleans. A little bit of a disappointment, but has the size and the bulk to stop the run. I talked a little bit about the Cowboys running game, and I know they will want to run the ball on Sunday. But I'm also a little bit concerned about Terrence Williams. He's really the only big weapon, downfield weapon, the Cowboys have. With Dez Bryant out of the lineup, he's the kind of guy that can wreck a game with a pass or two deep down the sideline behind Devin McCourty, behind Daron Harmon. And that's been a little bit of a problem for the Patriots secondary, giving up too many big plays. Whedon's been checking it down a lot, but it doesn't take more than one or two chances to get it downfield, and all of a sudden the Cowboys are right in the game. So Terrence Williams has got to be held in check, and those safeties have to be the ones to do it. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I talked about Aaron Dobson and the injection of life he gave the offense in Buffalo. Really good step for him. Then he was quiet against Jacksonville. But one of the newcomers, Keyshawn Martin, talked a little bit about him last week. He stepped up, and I'm really curious to see if he can develop something with Tom Brady. I was really impressed with the touchdown catch he had off a broken play where he sort of kept it going. He continued his route, went off to the side, got near the sideline coming across, and made himself available to Brady for a big touchdown in that game. He's got really good speed, decent size, has the ability to return as well. Keyshawn Martin's a guy I'm really curious if he can get on the same page with Tom Brady and become a weapon in this offense.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
The first 3 weeks, some good things, but there's also things I could have done a lot better.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
Images of the week. No game this Sunday, so let's get some leftovers from Jacksonville. Here's one of Jamie Collins. He had a couple nice plays in pursuit. And two for Malcolm Butler. Here's a nice breakup. And here's one of him taking out Blake Bortles.
Players' Perspective, brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through new ways of thinking.
We're coming out of the Patriots bye week. We have Deion Lewis, Patriots running back, with us this week. And last week we had one of his college teammates, and actually a pro teammate, Jabal Sheard. You guys both went to Pitt together. Did you make him look silly at all during practice?
I don't know. We had to go back and take. I'm sure I got him a couple of times.
Now, he says last week they didn't really go against each other a lot in practice because he didn't have to go against you. And, you know, he was with the first group and you were with the first group. So I don't know how much we're going to have to look at that tape. But you guys did play together and you're really friendly. Good, solid teammate, Jabal?
Yeah, definitely. He's a great guy. And dude, we've been close ever since college. So, you know, he's one of my closest friends on the team.
Now, on this team right now, you've become a really big part of the offense, obviously, in a short period of time. I know that you've been talking to us every week and you just continue to stress how much you're going to work hard and just trying to improve. But what has been the secret, do you think, of your success so far?
Just coming in every day and just taking it one day at a time. That's all you really can do in this business, especially, you know, just coming in and just trying to get better, you know, just not being complacent and knowing that there's so much more work you could do to get better.
Now, at Pitt, obviously, you were a workhorse, and I know a lot of people don't realize that because you're a little on the shorter side. I know you say not small, short.
Yeah.
So we're always quick to point that out. But at Pitt, you had a lot of carries, and you carried it between the tackles, and you put up a lot of production. So maybe some people were surprised to see you not just in that third down back role here, but really as an every down role, but that's something that you're accustomed to.
Oh, yeah, you know, I was asked to run between the tackles a lot, you know, power running game with Coach Wanstead when I was at Pitt. So, you know, I like to run this side. So being able to do that now is definitely going to help my game, and that's one of the things I like to do.
And we've seen you move the pile a little bit. You know, you're not an easy guy to tackle, certainly in open space, but even in between the tackles, we've seen you push that pile forward.
Yeah, you know, just being physical and knowing your abilities, you know, guys don't know how strong I am. So, you know, just lowering my shoulder, you know, just trying to get as many yards out of the play as I can.
Now, Coach Belichick always talks about the bye week as a time to sort of self-evaluate and improve on some of the things.
You said you didn't really do a whole lot during your bye week, just rested the body a little bit. But what did you do in terms of assessing your play in the first 3 weeks?
Just know that I could get a lot better. You know, just things I feel like on the first 3 weeks. You know, I did some good things, but there's also things I could have done a lot better, you know, especially from what I expect from myself. And, you know, just trying to focus on those things this week and just trying to get better because, you know, I feel like I got a lot of room to grow.
Hi, it's Deion Lewis, big part of the Patriots offense before the bye, and I'm sure he will be after it as well.
Back to some real matchups this week coming out of the bye, and we get to see two of the best tight ends, in my opinion, in the history of the game. Rob Gronkowski, Jason Witten. Witten, the gold standard over the last 12-plus seasons, coming up on 1,000 career catches, 11,000 yards. But you know what? Never had 10 touchdowns in a season. Rob Gronkowski has done that 4 times in his short career. But the flip side of that is Jason Witten hasn't missed a game since his first season in the league. 16 games every year since. Durability, production. Have some fun and watch the tight ends this weekend. Another matchup we're going to keep an eye on is in the trenches. Dallas Cowboys' best offensive line in football. Left tackle Tyron Smith, center Zach Martin. They are the stars remaining in Big D. Look for the Cowboys to try to run the football, control the clock, and protect Whedon. It's all on the Patriots' front that's allowed 4.9 yards per carry this season to step up to the challenge against the best offensive line in football. And finally, we don't have a lot of stars to look at this week. Tony Romo out, Dez Bryant out, Lee out. The Cowboys are dropping like flies. So let's look at the big star in Texas, and that's AT&T Stadium, the nicest stadium on the planet with the biggest TV on the planet. I'm sure it's true. Just look at the thing. It covers the whole field. Enjoy the game, enjoy the action, and every once in a while, look around your TV screen and notice, wow, that place is pretty cool. Tom Brady looking for his first win there.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
You know the next measuring stick?
Jenna.
It's when I leave Alcatraz and I go over to the stadium and get ready for Super Bowl 50. That's the next measuring stick.
See, it's that kind of brash talk that Bill Belichick will not like, Andy.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. New England Football Night is presented by AT&T. Mobilizing your world.
Did you hear the big announcement about the new NFL team in Los Angeles? No? That's because there wasn't one. Problem is, by now, there should have been. There's a lot of money at stake for the owners and the owner who gets to move his team to La La Land. Beyond the higher ticket prices that Los Angeles will command, there's a huge reservoir of untapped local corporate dollars to be earned. Think about it. With a city as huge as LA right now, there's nowhere for local businesses to spend money with the NFL. That, more than anything else, is why the league is in such a hurry to plant its flag there. But the owners can't agree on which team or teams will get to reap all that new money. I said it before here. This will test Roger Goodell's standing with the owners more than anything else. Forget about integrity of the shield. This has to do with straight cash, homie, and that's something they really take seriously. Factions among the owners are forming, and this one could get ugly real quick.
You guys can remember back to week one, my around the NFL, I was really critical of one of my favorite people in the NFL, and that's Bill O'Brien, head coach of the Houston Texans. I thought he was way too premature in pulling the plug on Brian Hoyer, going with Ryan Mallett. And here's the fear realized, because now just 3 weeks later, he's doing the same thing again. Now it's no longer the answer. It's back to Hoyer. The Texans are a mess. They got absolutely blown apart in Atlanta over the weekend, and things are not looking good for a team that I thought had playoff aspirations if they could get serviceable play from the quarterback. Well, the problem is you didn't let either one of those guys have enough time to become serviceable.
We got our first taste of football across the pond this weekend. Jets took care of business against the Dolphins, and it's reignited the talk of a full-time NFL team in London. And I love the idea. I don't understand all the people who say, oh, we can't make that happen. It's really far away. It's a long flight. It's no different than flying from the East Coast of the U.S. to the West Coast. And by the way, Hawaii plays really far from the continental U.S. They have a fine athletic program. Put a team in London now. Don't tell me about the pain. Just show me the baby.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. remodeling, or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter dumpster in a bag can take it on. Visit thebaxter.com for more info.
When the schedule first came out in April, two trips to Dallas and then Indy looked like marquee games. But a few months later, not quite the same without the Stars and without the Colts playing well. Paul, are you disappointed with what has happened?
It says here the Patriots are going to beat Dallas and they're going to beat Indianapolis. Those are two marquee wins, Andy.
Those are big wins. Those are two bad football teams right now.
No,
I listened to the podcast on DallasCowboys.com. They are predicting the Patriots to blow out the Cowboys. We thought this was a marquee game. We thought it was Romo, Dez Bryant. Now it's nothing.
Yeah, I understand your total point. I'm just being, myself. But here's the thing. I only really worry about what the Patriots are doing and what's happening around the league. Yeah, I mean, it's disappointing, but there's no one that's going to stop the games and feel sorry for Dallas and feel sorry for Indianapolis and Pittsburgh, for losing Roethlisberger and all these other guys that are going down. The Patriots playing good football. That's all I care about. Now, if they go to Dallas and they win, 17-13 and it's a lousy game, they turn the ball over four times, I'm not going to be happy about that because the Patriots will not have played well. But as long as they go out and play well like they did against Jacksonville, I don't really care who's on the other side.
I thought it was about getting better as a football team. We'll never know if the Patriots are getting better. They're not going to be tested. The best teams are in the NFC right now. You may not play those teams until the Super Bowl. Okay, yeah, you have Denver on the schedule down the road, but I thought one of the questions around here over the years was, have you proved your mettle? And last year when they won the Super Bowl, everybody said, oh, that's six-game stretch. You're going to prove your mettle. And guess what? You did. You proved you were one of the best teams in football. You went on and won the Super Bowl. This year, your chances to prove your mettle are falling by the wayside because of injury and ineptitude on the other teams. And as a fan, it's disappointing. You want to go take on America's team at full strength. You want to punch them in the mouth, and you want to beat them. Yeah. Now, they're like, your little brother. You're beating up on somebody who can't defend themselves.
Whatever. Cry me a river. No one felt bad for the Patriots when Gronkowski was missing Super Bowls and not being available for big playoff games. And that's why, not because of the lack of mettle they faced in the regular season, that's why those teams didn't ultimately win it all the way last year did. And the difference between the two of us, I don't need the scoreboard to tell me if the Patriots played well or are improving. I can watch them, and I can determine that on my own.
They'll beat up on a team that can't defend itself.
I'll figure out if they're playing well or if they're only having success because of the ineptitude on the other side. You can tell. There's a difference there. You hang out with me during the game. We'll figure it out.
You know the difference between you and I? I like good football. I like measuring stick games.
Like the NFL, then.
Right. I don't like the NFL right now because it's not good football, and we're not going to find anything out about the Patriots. There's no measuring sticks left. You know the next measuring stick? That's when I leave Alcatraz and I go over to the stadium and get ready for Super Bowl 50. That's the next measuring stick.
See, it's that kind of brash talk that Bill Belichick will not like, Andy. I'm telling you, find a way to win your games. You get yourself in position to do something later on in January and hopefully February.
Beat up on the defenseless. That's what we've come to.
Buy me a river.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Fisher Plows, a whole new way to attack winter. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. You, your advisor, and Putnam, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
Okay, the bye week gave you all a lot of chance to send us all these questions, and here they are. You guys ready?
Ready.
This first one comes from Gregorio Pempeloni. He says, is Ryan Wendell becoming expendable with the O-line doing such great work?
I don't think he's expendable because I think he's a captain. I think there's some leadership qualities there, and you don't necessarily have all that. But in terms of the player, we talked about him being right on the cusp of expendable for a couple of years now. And his versatility and his age, I think, kind of find his way into the lineup. But certainly, you don't need to lean on him maybe as much now as you thought you were going to have to coming into this season because the three rookies have been impressive.
I also want to point out, and I'm going to stick with Fred's Dave DeGuglielmo, during the bye week, had talked a lot about that offensive line, and he was very praiseful for those young guys and how much they've done. But he was also quick to caution us that this has got a lot to do with game plans, and they're not playing necessarily as well, his words, not mine, as we all think they are, because Tom Brady, Josh McDaniels, and Bill Belichick have really done a great job of scheming their way through these problems. And
Yeah, I think you can always use a guy like Ryan Wendell, a veteran, to sort of solidify things in there. I don't think that his days are over.
And to paraphrase, I believe Googe said something to the effect of there's good and there's good enough. And right now they're good enough, but they're not good yet.
And let's not forget the rookie wall. Googe also said they've had about over
these
700
cats,
snaps.
These cats have played a lot of snaps.
They have.
And that's November they usually schedule the rookie wall to hit?
Sure. So
I
can guarantee they will need Wendell at some point this season. John Rockliffe writes in, do you think with Collins and Hightower playing the way they are playing and the addition of Bostic that we might see Mayo get traded?
Mayo right now looks like he's a bit expendable, and I still think there might be a time for him, and I'm wondering how much the knee coming off the knee injury, because Andy pointed this out really in the middle of training camp. He still seems like he has a hitch in the giddy-up, and I'm not sure he's completely 100%, but it's clear that the Patriots staff does not believe that he is a big part of what they want to do defensively, because he's been a role player through the first three games before the bye. I love what Hightower and Collins do, and I love the addition of Bostic, too. So I do think if someone's willing to give you something for Mayo, you have to listen. You know, he's not going to be back next year with that contract situation. I wouldn't be stunned.
I think this is twice in about a month we've gotten similar questions. Let's unload Mayo. What can you get for Mayo?
I just don't know what it is.
You know, it's fine to say, okay, let's unload him. Well, if you're unloading him, the other team knows you're unloading him. What are they going to give you for a guy, again, who's coming off 2 years where he only played six games in each season? He's not playing for you now. They probably see the tape and say, he's got a little bit of hitch in his giddy-up. And he has $11 million on his cap number next year. So why would you be acquiring a big money, doesn't play guy?
And I don't think you just unload him. I think at this point, if anything, he's quality depth. Yeah.
He's more valuable to the Patriots than to another team.
So I would agree with that. Right. And I am skeptical as to how much he'd be able to get.
Steven Copabianco says, do you think the team should get rid of Amendola? After giving Brady's 400 ball away, I think he needs to go. He's bad news and not a team player. I think he might be kidding, right?
No. Yeah. Well, I'm not so sure.
I'm
going to assume that he, taken that a little too far. But I think, in all seriousness, Amendola has carved out a nice niche for himself. I think that he is what we sort of thought last year around this time. If something were to happen to Edelman, I think Amendola could, you know, pretty closely replicate what you got from Edelman.
All right, finally, DJ Watkins, I just want to say that I'm a Pats fan all the way from New Orleans. Love the info you guys put in every week. My question is, what are the odds that the Patriots currently have the greatest quarterback, tight end, kicker, and coach of all time all together on the same team?
3 out of 4 ain't bad. You can get me on the coach, the quarterback, and the tight end. Love Steven Gostkowski, but he's got a ways to go. Big kicks, championship kicks to sort of pad his resume. He has some of the statistics, the longevity, you know, the accuracy the last couple of years, the record on the PATs consecutive, but he's not the no-argument greatest kicker yet.
It's not his fault, but until he does it on the biggest of stages, that'll be, you know, what keeps him from being considered that.
But again, I just want to recap. 3 out of 4 ain't bad. It's kind of ridiculous to say you
have
the 3.
Really strong argument for the other 3.
That's right.
Pretty good to be a Patriots fan.
All right, every week send your questions to AskPFW@Patriots.com.